it won't.
I didn't talk this morning about shearing the sheep. I just felt it was the Lord's will. And I want to bring them text from John 21:16. And in John 21:16, Jesus saith unto Peter, again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Agape thou me, Peter? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I, filial, have a strong affection for thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Poimen, shepherd, my sheep. Pastor, my feet. Sheep, feed my sheep. Why does God call us sheep? He calls the wicked one wolves. He said, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Because the wolves want to destroy the sheep. The wolves like to get rid of the church. I saw written in a restroom wall at Boeing one time where I was, the big letters, burn the church of your choice this week. And you see, there's animosity in people's hearts. They like to get rid of the church. They like to get rid of light. They like to snuff out the light because the Bible says men of the world love darkness more than light. Light shines on them and makes them see how dirty and filthy they really are. And they hate Christians because they're such a contrast to themselves. It reflects that light, and here is something that's beautiful, and it just shows forth their ugliness because you set it side by side, the beautiful with the ugly, the light with the dark, and they hate you. If you don't do a thing wrong but just smile and have the love of Jesus, they hate you because it shows what they really are. They hate light. They want to be around in the darkness. Jesus, and the Word of God calls the undisciplined a wild ass's colt. Completely undisciplined, like a wild ass's colt. It's completely undisciplined. And sometimes, you know, that's the way we all before were saved, and some people, as soon as they come in and confess their life to Christ, God has to change them from a wild ass's colt to a sheep. And sometimes there's a little bit of transition there, and there's a little, you know, because they don't want to be like a sheep. A sheep just quietly follows wherever the shepherd goes. But a wild ass's colt doesn't. It runs off in all directions, and it kicks, and it, you see, it's stubborn. And you've got to pull it, and it'll resist. And so we are a wild ass's colt being transformed into sheep. It takes a little while. So don't be too, when you begin to see that shaping into a sheep, don't be too shook if you see that wild ass's colt nature in that sheep little yet, because he hasn't fully a sheep yet. He's still in the transition stage, you see. So there's a little bit of wild ass's colt in us. I think that's true, don't you? He calls the unsaved goats. He said, I'll divide the sheep from the goats the day of judgment. You see, goats in the east, in the eastern hemisphere, goats aren't white like they are here. They're black. The sheep are white, the goats are black. And the goats are self-willed, you know. They're stubborn. They're self-willed. And they'll butt you. See? They'll holler. No, they'll butt you and ram you. You know, sheep won't do that. And they don't even want to. And they have a particular odor peculiar to a goat. The sheep don't like the odor of goats. The sheep don't like odor of goats, you know. It's not their kind. And so once you get to become a Christian, you don't really like the odor of the wicked. It's not your kind. It's something else. But the goats do feed among the flocks. Well, that's the way the wicked do. They're among, see, we're right here in this world. They're among the sheep. But now, sheep you lead. You walk, the shepherd walks and sheep follow. Goats won't follow. You got to drive sheep, goats. You get in and you drive them. You know, and so there's a little bit of a goat nature in some of the sheep too. Don't be surprised one time you see a sheep go down and he'll butt. You say, what's he doing that for? That's not a sheep nature. Well, he's not fully a sheep nature yet. He's still got a little bit of goat in him. He gets mad and butts every once in a while. He's a little stubborn, and you got to drive him a little bit because he won't follow. And so it's necessary. Then he calls Satan a dragon because he wants to devour. But he calls the saints sheep. Now, why does he call us sheep? Are we willing to know? Do we want to know? Well, let's look at 1 Peter 2:25. Perhaps we can see one of the reasons here. 1 Peter 2:25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Sheep are always losing their way. You take a cat out, you know, for miles and miles and dump him, next day he'll be back home again. You can take a dog out and go through a twisting, turning through the woods and down over the creeks and all over the countryside, and he'll be back again. He can go out chasing a coyote for several days, he'll be back again. You take a horse out, he'll find his way back. You get him way on out and just turn him around. He starts running back. He knows he's going back. You take a sheep out halfway between the out past the barn away, he doesn't even know where he is. And that's right. They get lost out in the middle of the field. They don't know where they are. Well, it's no wonder we're always losing our way without a shepherd. Now, with a shepherd, they don't lose their way because they just follow. But without a shepherd, they have to have somebody to guide them. If they don't have a guide, they get lost just right out there, right out in sight of the barn, they get lost. Mark 6:34. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion. He was filled with splankna, a great moving within, toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. All the heart of God, Jesus began to move. He saw them out there, says, look at all these sheep without a shepherd. You know, many times I feel that way, as you look out and God is beginning to move, trying to get a bride ready, and the Spirit-filled people out here, you know, and they've got no shepherd, a lot of them. Some of them don't even have a home. They wander, they go to that church, and then they go to this church, and then they hear an interesting speaker go to that church, and then they see an ad in the paper, and they go to that place, and then they go to that place, and they're all over, and they're wandering around, and they're having some home meetings, and they're out in the street, and they're just wandering like a sheep without a shepherd. They have no teaching, they have no guide, they don't know, they're just floating around, they don't know where they're going. The sheep without a shepherd. That was never God's plan. God's plan has always been to put a shepherd over the sheep and not having out there. They think they're free out there, but they're lost and don't know where they are. And Jesus felt sorry for them. And he began to guide them and began to teach them. Now the sheep go out, and the sheep get so dirty, as they run along the dusty paths, that dust comes up and it just hangs in that thick wool. That thick wool picks up that dirt, and to pretty soon they become the color of the terrain around them. They pick up the same color as the path they're traveling on, you see. Whenever path we travel on, that's the color we pick up. And that's why he has to cleanse our walk. He has to wash our feet, you see. And it was white, but it begins to get black and dirty, so full of dirt, and begins to get heavy and matte and all kinds of patterns all over. And a sheep needs cleansing. They're standing in the need of cleansing. Now, not only that, but a sheep cannot do any self-cleansing. You take a cat will lick itself. It'll give itself a bath all over. It'll lick its kittens. The dog will lick himself, you know. Cow will, you know, will lick the calf, you know. Raccoon will go down and wash, and whoever this, and there's so many animals that will take care of themselves, lick and cleanse themselves. Sheep won't lick himself. He won't go down the water and cleanse himself. Somebody else has got to cleanse him. No wonder he calls it a sheep. We can't cleanse ourselves. He has to cleanse us. We get dirty. We pick up all this stuff from the world that we travel on. And then if we go by these thorn bushes, we get off of the path and go by thorn bushes, we begin picking up all the burrs and all the off these thorn bushes. Now they're there to hurt, you see. And we pick up some all over and they begin to hurt us, but we can't get rid of them. The shepherd has to come and begin removing them from us. I thank God that he is a great shepherd, comes down and begins removing some of these hurts and things from us. We're all loaded up with cock-a-buzz and all kinds of wrong teaching and ideas and things, you know, and sin. And he has to pull all these things out of us. If they don't, they just stay there and irritate us. And we just bleat and cry, and we cry, and we cry, and we bleat. You know, the sheep are so tender, and they're all easily hurt, and they're always getting hurt, and they're always bleeding. They get hurt so easily. They're not a tough, rough animal. They bleat. They just stand there and bleat, you know. And the Lord is always having to pick us up and, you know, rock us and carry us into his bosom, you know. And the shepherd and those that God puts always, you know, are having to constantly have, you know, people want to talk, you know, because they got problems, and they cry, and they're hurt, and they don't know which way to go, and they're not sure what to do, and some, but this is hurt, and this, we're always so hurt, you know, because we're sheep. And turn to John chapter 10. You know, the sheep are easily scattered. Sheep are easily scattered. They follow, but then when something comes in, they scatter. And if a wolf comes in, they run in all directions, just because a wolf's there. They don't stand, they stick together behind the shepherd, they just scatter. And in John 10:12, we read, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life," see, he's the shepherd, "and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." And that's what happens. The wolf comes and he scatters the sheep, and the sheep just run off, you see, and they get caught. If you don't have a good shepherd, though, if it's a hireling. And if you don't have a shepherd, same thing happens to them. Let's look at Mark 14:27. Mark 14:27. Without a shepherd, they get scattered, and if the wolves come, they're easily scattered. Mark 14:27 says, "And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." As soon as there he goes, for 3.5 years he shepherds them. Now you think after 3.5 years, and he opened their eyes in the way to Emmaus, you would think after 3.5 years with their eyes open, being with the Lord, that because the Lord was gone for a few days, 3 days and 3 nights, you would think that they would not be all scattered, they would stick together, but just be absent for 3 days and 3 nights, and they all scatter. "I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Take the shepherd away, and the people just, they're gone. They're gone. Next thing you know, they're all over the countryside. You never know where they are. But as long as there's a shepherd that loves them and is feeding them, they won't scatter. They'll follow the sheep, the shepherd. And the shepherd's gone, they just disappear. They disperse. They're all over. You don't know where they are. Now I'm going to ask a question. Who owns the wool on the sheep? Who owns the wool on the sheep? Does the sheep own his own wool? When we know the neighbor man doesn't own it. But the sheep own it. No, the sheep doesn't own his own wool because he doesn't own himself. Somebody owns the sheep, don't they? Somebody always owns the sheep. The sheep don't own themselves. Therefore, the sheep don't own their own wool because they don't own themselves. Jesus said, "You're not your own. You're bought with a price." You're not your own. You've been bought. Somebody has bought the sheep. He owns the sheep. He bought them. He paid for them. He says, "I have paid for you. You're my sheep. You're not your own. You're bought with a price." Some people say, "Well, I own myself. I own my own wool, and I don't have to give any more of my wool if I want to." Shepherd says, "Not true. I'm going to show you. You're mine." The owner of the sheep owns the sheep. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns everything. And Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." Why do they follow him? Because they belong to him. So his sheep, my sheep, know my voice. Not just sheep know my voice. Now I'm going to ask you another question. Do you think that the sheep should be sheared? The answer is yes, often and close. But is it not hard on the sheep to shear them? Not at all. It's good for them. If you don't shear the sheep, they become unhealthy and sickly. And they get overburdened with a great mountain of wool on them, heavy with dirt. And they become very slow and dirty and uncomfortable. But you know something? The sheep don't know when they need shearing. The shepherd knows, but the sheep don't. They don't know. They're uncomfortable, but they don't know it. They don't even know what they need to get rid of their being uncomfortable. They need to be sheared, but they don't know that. Well, I'm going to ask you another question. Do the sheep like to be sheared? No. They don't run up and wait to get sheared. In fact, some of them resist it a little bit. You have to kind of hold them to shear them. Because they don't like to be sheared. But when after they get sheared, they're much more comfortable. They're much more comfortable afterwards. Some sheep have to be kind of cornered first before you can shear them. Some of them you just take a hold of them, and they don't want them. But some of them you got to kind of corner. You got to crowd them a bit, you know, to shear them. And if you don't get sheared, they just pick up a lot of burrs. The longer you go and shear, the more burrs you pick up. A pastor, a shepherd who won't shear his sheep is not a good pastor. He's not a good shepherd if he won't shear the sheep. Jesus, the great shepherd, never fails in this. He makes sure we get sheared. He makes sure that we get sheared. We don't always like it, but afterwards we praise him for it. We thank him for it afterwards. Now, sometimes a hireling comes in, and he wants to fleece the sheep financially for himself, see. He's not the pastor of the flock. Pastor of the flock would never fleece the sheep. Not if he's got a pastor's heart, because he loves the sheep. He won't take advantage of them wrongly for himself. But a hireling wants to come in and fleece them financially and go on his way and take all the wool off of them and take it off and sell it himself so he can get some money, see. And, of course, the wolves come, they want to just bite chunks out of the sheep, see. They get the flesh right along with it. And they draw blood. They just bite hunks out when they get a chance. Now, I believe that many people, many sheep, many Christians are sick because their life is without an outlet to help others. Their wool is never taken off and made into clothing to clothe others. And because from themselves, that which they grow is not taken, which they have grown and taken to made into a coat to clothe other people and hide their nakedness with the sheep, you see, with the lamb, which is to be the covering, like God killed a lamb and clothed Adam and Eve and replaced the fig leaves. You see, they made a fig leaf. But you know what happens with fig leaves? They begin to curl. After a while, they begin to dry, they curl and begin to drop off, and pretty soon you stand there naked. And so he killed an animal, took the sheep. He is the Lamb of God to take with him the woman. He clothed them with himself. Then it hides the nakedness. That they can't see the nakedness, but see rather him, the Lamb of God. You've got to give out. What you feed upon will grow wool on you, but you can't keep it to yourself. It has to be taken out and made into coats for other people. Others have to be clothed and benefited by it. Now, many people are without the blessing of God because they won't give of themselves. You see, they want to keep the old wool right on. A pastor really needs to induce the flock to give liberally. He needs to induce the flock. It is a stingy flock loses blessing of God. A good pastor will induce the flock to sacrifice time, talents, money. Not time and talents. Time, talents, money. Not money, money, time, and talents. We have to sacrifice. We're not our own. And if we don't, we fail. The Apostle Paul made a mistake one time in this area. Which I didn't know Apostle Paul made a mistake. Oh, yes. Paul made a mistake. David made a mistake. Abraham made a mistake. Moses made a mistake. We all made mistakes. There are human passion, like we are, the Scripture says, and even we caused many of the mistakes. Paul made a mistake, and he admitted it in 2 Corinthians 12:13. And he made a mistake in this very area. 2 Corinthians 12:13. And he's writing to the Corinthian church. And Paul says, "For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches?" Now, Corinthians, in what areas are you inferior to other churches? Except, in other words, the implication is, no, you weren't. Except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you. Forgive me this wrong. Forgive me this wrong. The wrong is that I wasn't burdensome to you. I didn't unload your burden from you. I wasn't burdensome. I should have burdened you down with taking care of me, but I loved you so much. I didn't want anybody to think that I was just out preaching for the money. And I know people would accuse me of being out preaching just for the money. And I knew you didn't have much. You're just living hand to mouth. And I could make a living. I learned how to make tents. And although I really needed to stay spend all my time in the Word and in prayer and in the gospel, yet because I loved you so much and you don't have much and you're just barely making it, and I knew that I could go ahead and make some tents and sell them on the side, I did this just to spare you. But now I realize that I robbed you of the blessing from sacrifice. You got no blessing of sacrificing. None of the blessing that would come from giving and sacrifice. You haven't learned in these areas. And he said, the thing that you were inferior was that I haven't been burdensome to you. Forgive me this wrong. Sheep were offered and sacrificed unto God. Now there's two offerings. Basically, I'm going to talk about, the first one is the sin offering. The sin offering, they put the lamb down, represents Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world. And after the lamb was offered, the people feasted and fed on that lamb. They roasted the lamb after it was offered, meaning Christ, and they took his life into themselves. They feeded them on him. He is the bread of life. He is all spiritual food. We take him into ourselves. But then there is another sacrifice that the people don't eat. It's not the sin offering, Christ, but it's the burnt offering. That one, they burn up the entire thing, and they don't eat it. And this represents, first of all, Christ, the perfect man, giving himself completely, burnt up on the altar of sacrifice. There's nothing left. Given unto God, surrendered completely to God, there is nothing left. Christ had nothing left in him. And then it represents not only the perfect man, the anointed Son of God, but also the sons of God that he is anointing. And we ourselves ought to give our life a living sacrifice, but as a counterpart of that burnt offering, where we give ourselves completely. And so Paul said, now God doesn't want you to burn yourself like heathens do. You know, burn yourself up, because God can't use you if you're burned up. But the type shows that you give everything up, so there's nothing left of you. And the anti-type is, I want you to give yourself a living sacrifice, but a sacrifice, which means when a person takes a lamb and burns it up, he doesn't get the value of it. He has to sacrifice. It is a sacrifice to him. And he said, I want you to give yourself as a sacrifice, Romans 12:1, as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, be continually living, and I'll give you life. And you'll sacrifice. You won't be yourself. He said, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. We also find out that no lamb under 8 days old was to be killed. It's Leviticus 22:27. No lamb under 8 days old was to be killed. Now, seven completes a certain cycle. Seven is the number of completeness. Eight is the number of new beginning. There were eight souls saved in the ark, and they came out after landed 8 days later unto a new earth. It's a time of new beginning. Eight new used in a lot of places. They circumcised the baby on the eighth day because that's the new beginning, you see. And it represents when God circumcises, we have a new life, a new beginning. And no lamb was to be slain under 8 days old. Don't offer, you can't offer yourself unto God until you have a new beginning, until you're born again. And then you can offer yourself to God. He doesn't want the old. See, you have to be 8 days old. You've got to have a new beginning. And then you can offer yourself unto Him. Now the shepherd used the product of the sheep, the wool, for himself and for others. For himself, the under-shepherd, because God owns it, the under-shepherd took the wool from the sheep, used it for himself, and then he used it for others. Who owns the wool? God does. Let's don't resist Him. When He wants, and when He comes, and He wants to begin to work on us and take off some of that heavy load and lighten it, let's let Him do it, shall we? Let's don't kick and resist and tighten up. Let's just let Him do it. It was needful for us. Jesus said that I am the vine and you are the branches. And every branch that beareth not good fruit, I prune, that it might be more fruitful. He cuts it back. Because all of a sudden, you see a new convert, and he's growing fast, you know. And here comes a big sucker out of the vine. And it might grow fast. And it's all wood. And it looks big and says, look at me go. Look at me go. And I'm sure going fast. I'm really moving. And he just moves out and says, look at me. See, everybody can see him. They don't see any fruit. They just see him. And he says, that's an unfruitful. It's sure growing fast. And it's taking it's taking energy right from the root, which is Christ Himself, but just to show Himself. So I'm going to put Him way back. Next thing you know, oh, no, I'm nothing. He cut me all, cut all of me off. Oh, that hurts the pride. He cut me back. Yes, He wants you to be fruitful. The next time you grow, you'll grow slower and stronger and shorter. And you won't look like so much, but there'll be big fruit there. Have you ever noticed the difference between the apple trees that you prune and the ones you don't? The ones you don't, you know, the typical ones you got in your backyard, they're huge. They get big, you know. They just spread all over everywhere. There's an apple there, and there's an apple there, and there's one there, you know. They're really big, and you get little apples on them. You ever go over by Wenatchee and see the apple trees there? They're little apple trees. They're not very high. Just those tiny apples, only one third this height to the other. They're small. But they get apples so big, and they're so close together, every branch has got a big stick from the ground up holding them. Every branch, and they do. You go drive by, you see about 15 sticks like it's under every tree. The branches cannot hold the fruit. There's so much fruit, and they're so heavy, and they're so close together, and they're small. Because it keeps them pruned back. And you can reach them. Others, they will, in the backyard, they go up, they get my, they get big. And all the energy goes into the wood to show the tree. Very little fruit. And so God has to prune us back. Don't whine and whimper when they prune you back. It's so hard, you know. And you know, Japanese are real good, you know, at a lot of this thing of pruning and so forth. Mind when they get through pruning, it makes you sick, you know. You look at it, they cut everything back to nothing, it looks like. And the people who know these things, you know, who work in the nurseries, they really cut back. And it always hurts my wife inside whenever she sees them. She's, oh, you know, they really cut it back, you know. And sometimes it groans a bit when I cut some plants back, you know. Cut back. But then they are more beautiful the next year, and they can shape better, you see. And so God's working on us, shaping us, getting us like He wants us. And we just need to yield. Let Him shear the sheep. But He's a shepherd. We need to just follow Him. And this, I believe, is what God wants to do. And He has to come. He says, give reproof, give rebuke with all long suffering. Don't be lords over the sheep, but do be a shepherd. Make sure they follow you. Put them in mind to be in subjection and the powers and so forth. And teach the people, because I want to lead you to lead them. And see, I'm in two positions. Sometimes I have the heart of God and the mind of God, and He gives it to me because He loves you, to shepherd you. Other times, I'm a sheep, I'm sitting right where you are, now he has to do the same work to me. I'm the same thing. If I don't let him do it to me, how can I expect him to do it to you, you see? I'm just like you, I'm nothing but just a sheep. But then, he takes and puts you in a unique position so that you might be an under-shepherd to shepherd the sheep. And so we all have to let the God work on us. And I just love the Lord, don't you? And I love you so much. You don't know how much I love you. I really love you. And because God has put that love there. It wouldn't be there if it wasn't. I remember one time I witnessed to a young man. I was witnessing to him every night. I was working with him. Every night I witnessed to him. He did everything he could against me. He was trying to undermine me in every area, make life miserable for me, because he was under conviction, I guess, and trying to try me. And you know, it didn't bother me in the slightest. It didn't bother me in the slightest. I never once rebuked him. I never once complained. I could have had him fired just like that. I didn't do one thing. I just kept loving him. You know why? God put that love there. Now, don't say, oh, my, you were wonderful, because I wasn't, because I wouldn't have taken it. Honestly, I wouldn't have taken it. I mean, my patience doesn't bear 6 months long that way. I wouldn't have taken it. I would have gone to the foreman and said, I just can't take this. This isn't right. But God gave me the love, and it wasn't hard, because it was God's love. And God has given me that kind of love for you, and I love you very much. God bless you. Let's let the Lord lead us. Amen.